Welcome to the acclaimed podcast, The Deep Dive, featuring your esteemed hosts, Andy Monitor and Drew Dinzik, powered by BetSperts.
Welcome to The Deep Dive. Andy, NBA playoff time. I hope you have been enjoying the play-in game so far. The Western Conference playing back-to-back yesterday was just flat-out awesome. Well, the bummer was,
and like, I don't know, the game wasn't like decided, but Zion getting hurt was kind of a bummer. That was fun.
That would have been cool.
Didn't stay up for the second game. I'm washed and I just didn't care. I felt like that was the way it was going to go. I don't know. I guess I should have bet it then. I bet the Lakers.
You didn't want to see the little brothers play the big brother at long last? The big brother out there limping, just sucking.
LeBron didn't get his points.
If you
got the Lakers to win, but I didn't get the LeBron prop.
Oh damn! He was damn close, wasn't he? Did you play PRA?
He was. So I played PRA. His points was like 26.5, but PRA he was like 3 short as well.
Oh damn!
Just like take a three. Wow. Take a three.
It was probably the New Orleans scorers. They were probably dinging him on assists, you know, and rebounds. Yeah. They were like, well, that was a team rebound. We're not giving that to LeBron. We're not going to let him triple double at our home court. That is one of the things you need to factor in if you're playing those type of props, which is how the scorer tends to treat the home and away teams for the subjective shit. But for someone like me, and if you're a Warriors fan, sorry in advance, you have a bunch of championships, so I guess kind of fuck off. But I have had Steph Curry pick my pocket an awful lot in the last 5 years. So it was somewhat cathartic to see the Kings just dump truck them, particularly considering the relationship between the Kings and the Warriors here in Northern California, you know, here in California, particularly in Northern California, where it is a very big brother, little brother situation. Good on the Kings getting into the final round for the 8-9, likely that they win considering the state of the Pelicans, but we can talk a little bit more about that if you want. Probably not a very compelling conversation though, because either one of those teams is likely to get just blanked by the Thunder, as far as I could tell you. So
it doesn't feel like the 1-8s are going to be very, very good on either side. Kind of weird timing for this, but we're recording this. There's a little bit of time left in the second quarter of Heat Phillies. I'm going to call them the Phillies, even though it's the 76ers. I guess I watched a little baseball in the last few days. Sorry, guys. Instant prediction. Philly down by 7. Did they come back? Did Jimmy get hurt?
I've not been watching. I literally kind of don't care about the Eastern Conference really at all.
That's another one too. And I know like Philly is likely. Well, truthfully, like.
Let me see.
Is Philly good right now? And maybe this is where I'm starting. I want to start with, let's make the assumption Philly wins this game as your 7 seed. It's kind of suck. And it's funny because also just, you know, number one is in my fuck your town, fuck your fan base is Boston. Always, obviously, a lot. I think a lot of America can agree. Apologies, Drew. Mm-hmm. But number two is probably New York. Like, I was a Twins fan when the Yankees were hanging it on us. And, you know, they have two teams and everything. So, like, fuck New York. So it is kind of funny like that the Knicks have had this drought. They did it. Like, they're the 2 seed. That's a pretty impressive feat. And then, like, this is bad, right? You got to probably play the last year's MVP as a 2 seed. That doesn't seem to happen all that often.
No, that's rough, man.
It's like bad. So what is your fair price on that series? If Philly, who is down by 10 now, comes back, a lot of time left, is the 7 seed, heads to the Mecca.
Great question. So Philly versus I guess number one is
what was your assumption for 7? Now I'm curious. What were you assuming is your most likely 7 seed in the East?
Philly.
Okay, fair.
Yeah, Philly for sure. But they got bet pretty aggressively today. That was that close, 5.5. My number was 4.5, so I didn't exactly understand the momentum there. I mean, I get like doubting the Heat. Like doubting the Heat is entirely plausible considering the way they played this year. But they do have like that playoff magic, that kind of wild ability to really kick it into another level when they are backs against the wall. Coming up with a fair price for Philly, New York, the key there is really just what are you doing with Embiid in terms of minutes projection and in terms of availability for the whole series. If you assume he is available for the whole series, then, you know, pencil in 40 minutes a game. I think you're being a little bit, potentially being a little friendly there. Like that's a little bit of an aggressive assumption. He may have some games where he's just literally like, doesn't play the fourth quarter because it's, you know, game's out of reach. So that has all of the kind of whiff of a long series to me, just because of the Embiid not playing full power in every game. If you do pencil in Embiid 40, you're taking minutes away from some guys who are pretty poorly rated by my numbers. And I would have Philly as 3-point dogs on the road and 1.5-point favorites at home. So my numbers would actually have the Knicks at about -200 for the series, considering player availability there. Now we go down the list and you kind of start giving me more of the, kind of upweighting some of the guys down the board and or kind of count on some of the fatigue the Knicks are wearing, because the Knicks have, if you haven't been paying attention, been playing a lot of their starters, like a lot of,
yeah, they've been trying
to, everybody else who's sort of getting your guys' bodies ready for a long campaign here. And I could, I could see the, an argument to be made for Philly in this one, but based on what I'm hearing, people kind of expecting prices to open in Philly versus the Knicks. If the Sixers do come back and beat Miami, then I'm going to be on New York.
Kind of, and then the other side of this equation is, I think, because of what you have for a one seed in the East, how good they are, how much better they are than the field. You know, your first thought is, if you lose the 7-8 game or whatever, this first and play-in game where you have to play the winner of the, 9-10, do you just call it a season, say, well, like we're getting best case here, we get the Celtics at Boston in a 7-game series, we're fucked, we might as well just call it a season, head to Cancun, 1-2-3. But it's the Heat if they lose this game. Like you said, Heat magic. I still think it, obviously, huge task. Tatum's so good, and everyone's so good. And they've added, how healthy is KP? That was the big conversation in the NBA chat preseason when everyone was trying.
I gotta put away my numbers for a second. I was going through. You asked me the hardest question first, because if I honestly, like, how to deal with the how to deal with Embiid, particularly putting a specific oscillator in there for his performance level that you're going to get over the back course of the best of 7 series and over the course of the playoffs. I have no Philly skin at all at this point. And so I was kind of thinking hard about that. But going back to the one seed in Boston, Kristaps Porzingis, obviously people have correctly identified how important he is to them winning. If I look at just in general, he's not coming up as like outrageously important in terms of just player impact for Boston, but I personally think he's their most important piece because of they have redundancy at the wing with Tatum and Brown. So you don't need both of those guys to be on every night, right? There can be some, sharing the load. You have some redundancy in terms of guard play and point of attack defense between Derek White and Drew Holiday, right? You're resistant to injury with those four players, which is huge. KP is an injury red flag every way you could possibly think, and you don't have redundancy. If you got to go and start playing Al Horford 40 minutes a game, like that starts to get real problematic real quick. And honestly, if I was a team in the East and I was game planning, like, well, what are we going to do to stop Boston? Well, I mean, in games 1 and games 2, you're going to be double digit dogs on the road. And I think what your best chance to get out of that series with a win is probably just to force all of the action through Porzingis. Even though it'll be efficient, even though it'll work out, like if you can really kind of make him work hard, he just hasn't done that very much this season. You could potentially wear him down. I think this probably matters more for like Eastern Conference Finals. If you have a team like the Knicks who do have kind of some solid bigs and some decent shooting, like, yeah, if you can kind of double the wings and force the ball to an open Porzingis and make Porzingis beat you shooting, make Porzingis beat you at the post, and definitely like test him as aggressively as you can when he's playing defense, then I think you could, you know, put him in a little, you know, wear him down. Right. And I think, it's not, you know, there's no easy way to beat the Celtics. I don't think the Celtics are losing in the Eastern Conference, surely. But I do think that your best chance is to either kind of get Porzingis off rhythm, get him out of being a game changer, and or like not hurt him, but like just wear him down physically so that he's not 100% effective. Does that make sense?
Yeah. What's the, I mean, you're talking double digit dogs. What are you saying? Like -800, -1,000 for the series?
Who do you want him to play? Cause Miami looks like they're about to win this game. I don't think it's going to be Miami.
It's the first half.
Who do we want him to play? Who you want him to play?
Oh my God. Miami? They're up by 14.
Yeah. I mean, this is,
well, let's say Philly beat Chicago in the game, you know, a couple days from now, then
Philly beats Chicago. So you want Philly Boston? Okay.
Yeah. Let's make the assumption the favorite wins. Also, I'm just not enamored with anything I've seen from Atlanta in the little ball I've watched. But let's say Bulls win. Sixers lose tonight. Sixers beat the Bulls. We got Sixers Celtics first round series -750.
Hang on. I'm doing my minute estimations here for the old Celtics. -1330 Boston in that one. I'm not quite against Philly. I'm not quite double digit at home. I'm only at -8, but I give them a 73% chance to win at home. And against Philly on the road, I have Boston -4. So you get a decent, win probability on the road. If you're Boston, 61% high probability at home, 73%. My series price is -330 Boston. Boston -2.5 games. I have -160. So that, you know, this, it would be a surprise if that were a long series. If it was Philly Boston, 4-1 is my most likely outcome. I have that happening 33% of the time. I have sweep happening 30% of the time. And this is assuming that you're getting full strength and Embiid 40 minutes a game for every game. So that's potentially, you know, I'm coloring that positively for Philly, like it's good as you
can. Right, can you crank it up to 48.5 for Embiid?
Minutes? 48.5 minutes? Yeah. So if you go up to 48, if we give, who am I taking him away from then? Paul Reed. We'll dock Paul Reed. We'll knock him.
Sure, he's a person.
10. He'll knock him. Mo Bamba. Say you learn Chinese. Mo Bamba, learn Chinese. Paul Reed, will you give us 10 minutes here? Nick Batum, will knock you down to 10 minutes here. In that situation, Boston is -7 at home. They're -3 on the road, and the Boston Celtics series price is -860.
All right, so closer to minus. I just think there's. I think we
Did
get
you say
more
48 Embiid. And a half.
Yeah, there's two overtime games.
Okay.
Okay. It was like one of the old, like Wilt or Russell or somebody, didn't one of those guys average 48.5 one year?
Oh, I don't know. Like, that's hilarious.
I feel like that's a NBA fun fact, because it was like this guy just played all the minutes and he played like 7 overtime games during the year, whatever it was.
Okay.
And he averaged more than 48 minutes. So somebody's going to have to look that up and get back to us. All right. Where do you want to move from there? Because guess what?
I guess what I don't want to do.
I don't want to talk at all about Cleveland Orlando.
Okay. That does not interest you.
That is Titans Jaguars Thursday night football kind of series. That is a 3:30 afternoon game kind of thing. Obviously we can talk about your price in that, but
okay, let me tell you.
For the media markets that come with that. And nothing against Cleveland. I had fun when I went there. Orlando sucks. Mostly, I'm sure it's a nice city, but I just hate whatever so much. So, like, not great media markets.
I'll give you, I'll give you.
I don't know. It's like, anyone excited about that series? I'm shitting on every. Have I said anything nice about a team yet?
Not really. But that's okay. The big talking points about Cleveland, Orlando are number one. You have a Cavaliers team that tanked their final game of the season, intentionally lost against the Charlotte Hornets in order to draw, in order to take on the Magic, right? Like, they literally put the Jokers in the fourth quarter, and they're just, you know, like, does that help you win? You know, get to the does that help your probability of winning an NBA title? No, absolutely not. Because you now have the Celtics potentially in round two, and your chances of getting past that are very low. But does it help you win a round one playoff series? And that's apparently the entire goal of the franchise of the Cavaliers right now. Yes. You need, you have a lot of young players that need playoff reps. There's the most notable name is Evan Mobley. Darius Garland has taken a huge step backwards this year. Jared Allen is a decent big. Max Strus is a fine player. Caris LeVert is a good six man. And Donovan Mitchell is the best player in that series by an absolute country mile. It's not even especially close. The Magic are happy to be here. They're a young team that needs experience as well. But my fair price for this series is actually very, very heavily in favor of the Cleveland Cavaliers. I have the Cavaliers as 5.5-point favorites at home. I have them as 1-point favorite on the road, which means that that kind of carries out to a series fare for Cleveland in the minus 400 range, which, of course, is a bigger number than the market is currently offering. So I'm on the Cavaliers in this one, man.
Might have to find some series props. A gentleman's sweep, a 4-2 exacta.
Okay, you want to know my probabilities? Here, I'll give you some probabilities on those. You ready? So a gentleman's... Sure, go ahead.
Just because I have it on screen, I'm going to read it quick, and then we'll get to that. But Kellen, would love to hear your quick thoughts on each of the available series, moneyline spread, game totals. And we'll touch on those if Drew has any takes on those, the ones that are, you know, already up because those series have been put together. But go ahead with your series game by game, kind of whatever.
So I did a good job of estimating minutes distribution for Cleveland, because that was actually a hard problem to solve, because they have Donovan Mitchell hasn't, you know, his minutes projection is a little tricky. My Orlando Magic minutes are a little trickier. Cleveland gentleman sweep happens 25% of the time. Cleveland sweep happens 14% of the time for me. I would make Cleveland -1.5 games, -140. I would make Cleveland -2.5 games. That gets you the sweep and the gentleman's sweep at +150. So if you can get better than +150, then I'm in on that. And I think that's actually a more fun way to play it than it is to lay the price for the series. But the stake, you know, your staking there is a little bit throttled.
Every episode I say this, I feel like at this point, but I miss five dimes.
Yeah,
they had everything. It was so easy to find.
And
you could parlay them. I'd take a bunch of -1.5s or +2.5s that I liked and put them together and make a fun eight legger that I'd do every year. And somebody knows ruin it.
Yeah. I got a couple pops on Cleveland before it got into the -200 range. And then I stopped. I'm waiting for some of the series props with bigger limits to be available to bet more Cleveland. But they're the better team. Donovan Mitchell's the best player. As long as he's healthy, I think they win that one pretty comfortably. Totals are interesting in that one, because I have a decent amount of I have 210 for game one there. What's the market at? 207. So I take coming up with a fair total for an NBA playoff game is very much an art. You have to correctly come up with the number of possessions, and you have to correctly identify the game's likely distribution of game state. A blowout with a big margin has a very different number of possessions than a game with a relatively close margin, particularly in the fourth quarter. Does that make sense to you? Okay. And weirder, even weirder than that, I guess I should have said this differently. You have kind of three categories of games. You have close games where the possessions just evaporate in the fourth quarter. You have games that are non-competitive where possessions are, you know, also kind of the efficiency just is off the charts low in the fourth quarter and possessions tend to drop. And then you have games where it's like within reach and a team is trying to close the gap and you have fouling in the final 2 minutes and you have, an uptick in time to get the ball out of your hands and you have an uptick in 3-point, shooting in the fourth quarter, right? So there's a very dynamic way of kind of coming up with how you populate those three bins in terms of likelihood. I just tend to use sort of the historical data to come up with how likely each of those are given the closing spread. And then from there, you can kind of build out a probability distribution for totals. And I am almost always reducing the number of possessions per team from the regular season by at least three, right? Like it's just not very, the pace is always slower in the playoffs. And 2.5-3 possessions, take a little bit of a haircut there, I think is completely fair. So I'm surprised that I'm actually looking at an over in Cleveland-Orlando by about 3 points. I didn't expect that actually. So I'm going to have to revisit that. And I like Cleveland 4.5. I have a small edge on Cleveland there as my number is closer to 5.5. Cool. We didn't want to talk about that series and you're muted. You didn't even want to talk about that one.
Sorry, I had a cough and then you went on a long diatribe and I kind of forgot about it. I was muted. I was saying, when exactly did those series start? Because I feel like we have Friday and was it Friday? And so it's Thursday and Friday for the.
Yes. Thursday is the 8-9
games. No, the 19th is Kings Pelicans. And then, both of them are the 19th then.
Both of them are Friday. Okay.
So Hawks Bulls winner and Heat Sixers losers play the 9th. Yeah. So yeah, they'll be both on Friday with the Kings Pelicans being the late game. It looks like on TNT.
Yep.
And then, yeah, we started the weekend. Cool. Well, fuck it. I'm going to bet some Cleveland. One more Eastern series. Then
hit me.
Bucks. Oh, Indy. God, I haven't followed so the good. Bucks.
This I mean, one's
this
fun.
Is kind of a weird one. Cause this is a, hey, on paper, look at all these great players you have. And then also one of them is injured and also you made a weird coaching decision and things have been kind of turbulent. So it's like the, hey, if this team are healthy on paper should be, I mean, going into the beginning of the season, let's say you know now what the record at the end of the year for the Celtics was.
Yes.
What line would you bet into for like a handicap on the difference in wins between Bucks and Celtics preseason, like plus.
So this was hugely controversial because I use Darko as my input for player level data. And Darko was flashing sirens, red lights. The Bucks are bad relative to market before the season started, right?
Sure.
Costa, I think in particular, like kind of noted like, hey, I'm like, this is potentially an outlier. Like I think his difference between projected wins for the Bucks and market was like 11. It was a big number.
It was
the point where people were like, do you have an error? What is going on here? Some of it was he was using projected minutes from somebody else as opposed to kind of hand doing it. But the key I think that a lot of people identified was bringing in Dame Lillard in replacement of Drew Holiday potentially solves your end of game isolation offense, but it massively compromises your point of attack defense. And it basically made the Bucks kind of fragile and they were just going to have to get it done with, kind of being very efficient in the kind of end of game high leverage spots, and it just never materialized because they had a bunch of games where they didn't even have those spots. They were just out of it by the kind of final 4 minutes. And so if you had said Celtics are gonna have, what do they finish with, 68-4? Yeah, if you're gonna tell me Celtics finished with 64 wins, I'll give you Bucks plus 7.5 wins. I probably would have said slight edge Celtics, based on my numbers.
Lay it with the Celtics.
You know what? We don't even actually have to guess. I have my preseason win numbers. I'll pull them up. I don't know why I didn't do that in the first place.
I was wondering if you were ever going to get to that. I assumed you had them somewhere. I just didn't know if they were in a deep dark recess of some shared folder somewhere. But I don't think I've watched a single Pacers game. I can tell you that. So I don't have a lot of takes in this series, Drew.
Yeah,
I would just love to hear your price. And then Charles, before we get drum roll on that, Charles does have a question after that. What's your price for Heat Celtics in the ECF? Can that happen if they're the 7? Yeah.
Yes. That's a good question.
I mean, it'd be similar, right?
By the way, I was projecting Bucks at 50, just under 54 for the season, and they finished with 49. So they underwhelmed even my projections, which were lower than market. And
they would have
7.5 would have been a 7.5. I would have been a bet on the Celtics. Yeah,
we could have bet some alt win totals on that.
Yeah.
So, and this is interesting too, because you know you can take your numbers right now and you can make this price. You can make this price.
By the way, this is crazy. I'm looking at this now. I projected the Celtics at 62, and they finished at 64. That's pretty cool. I projected Detroit at 11.5, and they finished with. This was my favorite. This was my biggest preseason bet of anything. They finished with 14 wins, so they exceeded my expectation. But their win total, you want to guess what it was for the Pistons?
I don't know, 23?
28.5. 28.5. Yes. Absolutely insane. Insane. Okay. Anyway.
And I want to add to Charles' question is, when you're doing this sort of exercise, because you can sit and make your price for. What if the Heat and Celtics played right now?
Yep.
But it's not the same question. This question is...
You're absolutely right.
The Heat are obviously playing at an elevated level. Yes. Because they just beat, you know, in this instance, they were probably the 7, so they just beat the Knicks.
They beat the Sixers today. Then they beat the Knicks and Bucks. Yes, they beat the Sixers, Knicks, and Bucks, yeah. That's pretty impressive. And so, yeah, you would upgrade them.
That's to the resume.
You want to know what today's numbers are where I'm at?
Minus 2,100.
3,900. Minus
3,900. I'm not that far off.
I have a 97.5% chance that the Celtics would win that series against the Heat if they were to face as currently rostered. Now, you know, what do you do with the Heat numbers, though? Like, coming up with a fare for the Heat is virtually impossible. Like, what is their playoff fare? Like, the degree to which Jimmy Butler plays at a higher level than his you know, player level number would suggest is real. The coaching effect is very tough to capture. Eric Spoelstra is the best coach in the NBA, although Joe Mazzulla, I think, has done very fairly this year. So, my fare would be, I have Celtics sweeping that series 40% of the time. So I don't even have the Heat winning a game in 40% out of the simulations that I ran on this. So
it appears from Twitter that Spo has employed a zone defense. And I haven't looked at a box score, but apparently turnovers aplenty and points off the turnovers. How does Doc adjust at halftime?
Doc? He's in Milwaukee now, man. He took the job that he wouldn't wish upon his worst enemy, to coach in the Milwaukee Bucks. Nick Nurse is running the ship now. And the fact that Nick Nurse doesn't have an answer is surprising to me. Shocking. Nick Nurse does not have the answer. I think you want me to take kind of like a more serious approach to Miami Boston. I'll give you a more fair number. Hang on. I'm just projecting mentally, like this kind of an upgrade for those guys.
Jimmy is third favorite for Eastern Conference MVP trophy behind like Tatum and probably Brandon Brown or KP. Like,
amazing.
Once you get to that point, Jimmy has done a lot.
Dude, I'm having a tough time getting that thing under 4 digits, even if I do some pretty aggressive upgrading on the state of the Heat. So it's going to be minus 1,000 at a minimum. And I think that's probably where it was last year, right? I think that series was like in the minus 800, minus 1200 range, and the Heat were better then for sure. The Heat, like the supporting cast, and I don't know how they're playing tonight because I'm obviously we're recording a podcast and not watching that game, but like the Heat supporting cast is, it's like, it's bad this year. Like you got a lot of, rotations where there is, you know, Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero and Terry Rozier. Like, you know, who a team like the Celtics will absolutely eat for breakfast is those three players defensively. Like, I don't know that zone defense is going to make up for some of the limitations you got there. No matter how, you know, how you feel about the coaching otherwise.
Here's a fun one. DraftKings has Cleveland minus 2.5 games plus 130 says.
I like that one.
Showtime 102.
Yeah. My fair price for that is plus 150. So that's a good bet as far as I can tell you.
Taking it. Well, I'm not until I do some driving, but if you have DraftKings, Drew says it's a good bet. Any other?
Oh, dude, I watched so much. I watched so much Magic down the stretch, and that team was trying so hard to win, and it was like pulling. It was like pulling.
Shut up, Magic.
It was pulling teeth. Oh my God, they just couldn't stop.
Actually, you know what? I enjoyed you talking in the NBA chat about Magic. I enjoyed anybody talking about anything outside of player awards. Player awards really took over the chat this year. I normally I'm all for that. I just didn't have many positions, if at all. Like, I think I had a couple long shots somewhere that obviously aren't winning, but it's no fun when you're not part of the party. On that note, Spencer Carberry, let's go. Whatever the hockey coach of the year thing is, Bo tricked me into betting some longer prices on that. So,
dude, didn't they make it?
They made the playoffs. You really got to hand it to the Washington Capitals.
I think you do. You really got to hand it to them.
I really do got to hand it to them. Any other thoughts on the Eastern Conference before we flip over to the?
I mean, if the Celtics do this again and fuck.
What's your fair price in the Celtics to win the East right now?
Minus 205.
And what is market consensus?
That's a huge number, man. We're in like Warriors with KD and Steph territory of pricing these guys now. I think there's probably some minus 190, minus 195s out there, minus 200 maybe.
It's close. Okay.
It's pretty damn close. Yeah. And that's really all I bet. In terms of
I'm about to put Patrick in timeout. Okay. I don't even know how to say these players' names. I'm into a hockey game, and actually, you know what? That's a lie. I went to a hockey game this year. Watch the Islanders and the Blackhawks play. It was nice. Good times were had by all. So you're saying market's pretty close to where you're at.
I am.
Did you look at any other Eastern Conference? It is a coach, I know. Players, coaches. I can't say any of the names. Did you look at any of the other prices for, like, who would be your second favorite in your pricing to win the East? And is there any value anywhere? It's probably pretty close then, right?
I mean, it depends on what happens in this game, but if the Heat win, it's going to be the Knicks. We didn't even really talk about Milwaukee and the key issue with them right now, which is availability of Giannis. You have to
at least half the series.
Yeah, you kind of have to run two numbers there, a number with and without him. But it seems to me like he's at least going to miss games one and two. And without him on the floor, game one in Milwaukee is like kind of like in the pick 'em range for me, which is crazy, but that he matters a shit ton. His minutes go to players who can not really generate offense and have some suspect issues defensively, which really flips kind of how you price that team. To get to a fair for Milwaukee series, I'm assuming he comes back in game three, and I'm at Milwaukee minus 160. So I have some value on the Bucks. At Bucks are currently minus 121 series price. I'm at minus 160, assuming Giannis comes back game three. But if he doesn't, and if he gets hurt again, or if he misses more time, then you're kind of SOL. And also a bunch of my minus 160 is kind of predicated on game one and two or coin flips in Milwaukee. And I kind of just want to wait for them to lose one before I bet the Bucks. Does that make sense?
Yeah. One. it's one of the coin flips. They should lose one of the coin flips if they do this enough time. And Charles, this is how much I've followed. I was just about to give 8 rapid fire predictions for the first round. And I realized the season is not over.
Really?
I don't think everything's finalized. It's over for Philly. It's over for Pittsburgh. It's over for the Detroits. So, I dig
cool.
it. That's all fine. Right, so yeah. And that makes it tough because you're just taking a wild guess at Giannis's availability and who knows, he could even come back and not be 100%.
Yeah. And I think if my second choice is probably Bucks. If the Knicks draw the Heat, then the Knicks getting to the next round is going to be much more likely for me than the Bucks. But if the Bucks do get to the next round, that predicates that Giannis is probably back and he's maybe playing close to his peak, which is not crazy because he's a medical freak. I am on like red alert that he's going to have the KD kind of double tap here where, you know, weird nod contact calf, come back too soon, play too hard, you know, rupture the Achilles.
Just snaps.
Goes like that. I'm probably not going to watch anybody's games because it's just when Giannis is back, it's going to happen. My
least favorite part of the Achilles injury is when they show it 19 times during the game afterwards and they slow it down to like one frame a second and you can just see it go as it snaps. It's fucking gross.
Yeah. So
I'd rather
right see now, a my, bone come out right now, my second choice is, I guess here's a fun one for you, which is that let's assume the Bucks are back in business with a fully healthy Giannis in round two and they're playing the New York Knickerbockers. Let's see here. New York. I have Milwaukee as a minus 180 fare in that series with a full strength Giannis. Even though the Knicks. Oh, I'm sorry. Hang on a second. I got to switch home and away because the Bucks managed to donk the 2 seed. And so the Knicks get the home seed in that one. I actually have that one as closer to Bucks minus 120. So it's going to be a close call. I think that would make, if you kind of convolve all the probabilities, it's probably going to make the Bucks my second choice to win the East. But both Bucks and Knicks are so far behind the Celtics. It's crazy. Heat winning this game and going to New York helps the Knicks price a lot if that holds. But who the hell knows? Anyway, West.
The West is the best. So Kings and Pelicans.
This is a fun one.
Kings and Pellies Friday night, like we said. Winner gets OKC. That feels like a tough road to hoe. Weird final day. Like Minnesota, as a harbinger of things to come, Minnesota puts up a pretty bad game against the Suns in a spot where if the other games going the way it did, the Timberwolves would have had the 2 seed.
Yeah, at least they don't have to play the Suns again for a while. Wait a second.
But I mean, that was their. They had a shot. Those games were playing concurrently. They had a shot at the 1 seed, and that's the. Sometimes I worry about Finch. Sometimes I worry about the team in general. It's just not quite there. But still, the top 3 teams are very good. The Clippers are pretty damn good when everyone's on the floor. The Mavs, what was the score in the Mavs final game? Didn't they score like 70 points?
It was not an honest effort. Yeah. I didn't think that was an honest effort, really.
It didn't look to be. In the East, like we said, Kings Pelicans faced OKC in the 1-8. Lakers are your 7th seed by way of beating the Pelicans. Good job for them. Nuggets Lakers is a series. Those games should all be on at like 9 p.m. because of where those people play. Wolves, Suns, 3-6, Clips, Mavs. Which one do you want to start with?
Let's start with your Wolves, Suns. Yeah, I'm on. Okay. I'm there right now.
Suns Steam. That came in roughly, not quite a pick 'em, just slightly into the Suns, I believe, when it opened, but it's been bet towards Phoenix. And people are claiming it's, of all the things that could have happened, it's not a great matchup for our Timberwolves.
No, this was probably your last choice. But it's tricky because, like, I show value on the Timberwolves in game one, for what it's worth. Game one right now is Minnesota minus two. It's only minus 103, so it's actually a favorable price to lay two with Minnesota. My fare for game one is minus 3.5. My fare in Phoenix is Phoenix by about one, almost two. We'll say Phoenix by two. The problem is this is game one, two, three, four prices. And the deeper you go into the series, this starts to tilt in favor of Phoenix because possessions get, you know, reduce as you go to game seven, and isolation offense in the end in the fourth quarter starts to matter more. And that's kind of the way they built the Suns, right? They have three different players that can all generate their own offense, that can all create off the dribble, and that are difficult matchups because they, two of them in particular, can get intermediate, you know, mid-range two, where the Wolves are a little bit soft defensively. And so the longer the series goes, the more likely the Suns win, if that makes sense.
It does.
If the Timberwolves can defend home court in game one and game two, all of a sudden I'm feeling really, really good about them advancing. Because number one, that proves that they had a decent kind of game plan to counter the offensive stylings of the Suns. Right. You know, it's a little bit of proof of concept and just in general, defending home court in semi coin flippy games gives them an opportunity to potentially steal one in Phoenix, close it in five. Right. And so we're talking, I'm looking at my distribution of what could happen here. Bimodal. Suns win a long series. Timberwolves win a short one.
Well, the Timberwolves are known for closing games. So things should work out just fine.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll get some, tickets have to be cheap for like a Tuesday. I bet it's like Tuesday at 6 for game two.
Yeah.
I bet I get in the door for like $100.
My fair price for the series is that one. Considering sort of the uncertainty around how things change as you go deeper into series, my fair price for the series is Phoenix minus 110. Sorry. So
I mean, but right now the price is higher than that.
Yeah, it's minus 128. I mean, my fare for Minnesota is plus 110, so I'm not betting that. This is one that I think you can bet game by game.
I'm going to.
And
I have to bet.
Yeah, I think you bet Minnesota at home, and then I think you, depending on how the prices get adjusted, you're probably betting Minnesota at home game one and two, and you're probably betting Phoenix at home in game three.
Minnesota minus two bets.
I will say this about Phoenix, even though as the series goes longer and it becomes an ISO game, the intermediate portion for Phoenix, like, do they don't have a lot of pieces in terms of like how do you adjust to what is working and what isn't, right? And so if like their rotations are getting exposed and they can't, if they don't have a matchup for Anthony Edwards at all, period, like their point of attack defense is suspect as fuck. If they're getting beat offensively, I'm not sure what they do to counter that.
Is Finch smart enough to just say, Ant, play hero ball then? For also, can a guy do that for five games?
Sure. Ant, he's a young man. Got fresh legs. Young. He's a young man. It's possible. I think the jam is Minnesota 1 and 2, Phoenix 3, 4 becomes a toss-up, and then Minnesota 5. And then Sun 6 if it gets to 6, Sun 7 if it gets to 7. That's my plan at least.
Did you ever watch Hustle?
Yeah.
The Adam Sandler movie?
Yes. Yeah.
His name, Anthony Edwards' character's name is Kermit. Like who sat down and said that? I don't know. I can't look at him and not think about that.
It's a weird one.
I haven't watched that since it came out. I enjoyed the film.
That's a weird call. So even if it's
Cat factor. I want to talk about Cat factor. Yeah. What you're doing for him for minutes.
It's
for
availability. It's huge. That's the huge question.
Because it affects offense and defense in different ways.
It does. If Cat were to be completely unavailable for this series, I have Phoenix minus 190. If I give Cat 20 minutes a game, I have Phoenix minus 140. If I give Cat 30 minutes a game, I get Phoenix minus 120. And if I put Cat 40 minutes a game, that's how I get to about minus 110. So I'm basically assuming full availability for him. And I don't know that that's 100%, but I would definitely expect early in the series that that's how this goes.
Grayson Malfoy. Grayson.
He just got paid.
Grayson Allen. He looks like Ted Cruz. Like, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I'm not the only one who sees
that. You're not the only one who sees that. No, you're not the only one who sees that.
Okay.
All right. Let's keep cruising.
You pick this. No, you know what? Nuggets, Lakers. Nuggets, Lakers. Ooh, Lakers look good. Offense looked a little choppy at times when the, I don't know, I watched that game. I'm not an NBA aficionado, but I guess, how does the Nuggets rim defense compare to the Pelicans? Because I think it's probably even better. And the Lakers weren't.
It's more flexible.
It didn't seem like they were finishing a lot.
Yeah, right. No, that's true. That was weird from the Lakers, though. They can the Anthony Davis was, it looked like he was glued to the floor for a lot of that game, which I didn't exactly understand. The Nuggets rim defense is fine. It's exploitable. They typically they have more moving parts because of the way they can deploy Aaron Gordon. They have decent point of attack. They have decent wing defense, and in general, they're only really ever kind of in a tight spot against bigs that can take advantage of some of Jokic's deficiencies. But basically, like, if you're going to beat the Nuggets, you need to make your shots. Like, that's kind of it. You can't let them have transition opportunities. You can't let them, kind of run you off the court, particularly at home where they have such a huge home court advantage. Biggest home court advantage, obviously, in the playoffs of teams who are left is Denver. I think this is an interesting series because in a lot of ways people are, in the moment, people kind of assume you remember this, like the take-a-sphere last year around the Western Conference Finals was like, this is the most competitive sweep ever. Right? like people were like, oh, ball bounced a couple different ways. This Lakers could have won this series, right? And in the moment, it was like, huh? What game were you watching? Like, no freaking way. Like, they were so much better. And now the market is treating it this way. Like, the Nuggets are so much better. The Nuggets backed up their sweep in the playoffs last year by just basically thumping the Lakers this year. But I don't know. I kind of look at the Lakers as a better version of this team we saw last year. They have made some sincere improvements in their offense. And I think if they're making their shots, they can steal one in Denver in games one and two, in which case this becomes like a for real series. I think I'm shorter than market on fair for game one. This is kind of one of the first bets that I have a decent stake on for any of the markets that are open sidewise. The Denver is out to 7. No way. Like, this should be closer to 4.5. I don't understand why there's this big of a miss here. There's this much confidence that Denver is going to be able to do what they did last year in the finals in game one. They had a huge rest advantage in that spot. They were just shot out of a cannon in that game. And they're not playing as well as they were then. The Nuggets aren't, in my opinion. So I think this should be closer to a 4.5-point spread. I'm taking the 7 with the Lake show. And this may ultimately be a short series. In fact, my numbers say it should be a short series. But as far as series fare goes, I can't get to this. I'm not at minus 384 here. I'm not firing on Lakers plus 319. Am I being a puss? My fare's like plus 265.
If you can guess, big of an edge. Yeah, I mean, if you can guess what I'm doing right now, I'll bet the Lakers at that price.
I cannot guess.
I am on NBA Top Shot. Remember Top Shot?
Trying to find Grayson Allen and Ted Cruz shaking hands.
No, I had that'd be an awesome moment. I had like a really low numbered Anthony Davis moment that just I never like just so it was like right on the downslope of when it started to be less valuable and you couldn't just buy a pack and flip it for 10x based on what was in it. And So if somebody wants an Anthony Davis numbered 30 out of 99-40 dunk moment, pretty good. Looks like the number 36 moment is listed for 400. I'd take $50. I'll take it. $50 gets you all my top shots. You can have my WNBA ones. You can have my Jason Kidd. You can have it all, full set.
You know the halving's happening like any day now, right?
Yeah, I need to turn this into Dapper money or whatever the fuck it was.
Dapper coin.
Remember Dapper coin? Oh god, I almost just closed StreamYard. All right.
Okay. I don't really know what Dapper coin is. Yeah. So yeah, no, I'm just gonna play. Okay, here's my final thought on Lakers Denver, right?
Yeah.
Could be a sweep, could be 4-1. But let's say my most likely 21% chance Denver wins this thing 4-1.
Okay. I'm going to bet the sweep. I don't care.
Okay. 21% chance this thing goes 4-1. Okay. I would say it is better than 50-50 that the Lakers cover 4-1 against the spread record and lose their series 4-1. Right? Like, I think these games are going to be close. And if so the Nuggets find ways to win. Yeah, I think the Nuggets were going to find ways to win. Sure. Fine. I won't fight you there. I think they should win all three home games, 1, 2, and 3. But I don't think they're covering 7-point spreads. No fucking way. And I think what would be nice is the market's already hot on Denver. Even if I lose my game one bet and there's an adjustment in favor of Denver beyond what is currently, I think, fair, then now we're really cooking. We could do some serious, get weird, bet some Lakers. So, yeah. Move on?
Yeah, Clips Mavs, because I feel like early in the season, maybe when we talked NBA a little bit here and there, it was a different kind of race in the West. I don't know if we fully had given the Thunder a real chance at even maybe a top two seed at that point. Like, Thunder are going to be good, still young. Don't know if the coaching is, you know, going to get them there. The youth is going to maybe bite them in the end of the season, where it was like Clippers, Timberwolves, Nuggets. Clippers a 4 seed, but still very talented. Obviously, this is it's still a really good match. Like, this is a good series. This is actually a pretty entertaining 4-5.
It is. And there are some serious, awesome dynamic pricing kind of conversation points, I guess. The first is, and the most important is Kawhi. Right now, the market is basically saying there's a less than likely, you know, less than 50-50 chance he plays in game one, in my opinion. I don't think you can realistically say that game one should be Dallas' small favorite unless you are assuming that there is something like a 20% chance that Kawhi plays. And considering the quotes from Ty Lue, and just in general, considering how Kawhi has sort of called his own number and is very conservative with when he plays through injury, and he hasn't played since March 31st, I am perfectly fine pricing this series with a low probability of Kawhi playing. Okay, and that makes a massive, massive difference in the price here. Let's say Kawhi never takes the court, Dallas should be minus 210. Let's say Kawhi plays games 3 and beyond. This should be Dallas minus 110. Let's say Kawhi is perfectly fine and he's been rope-a-doping us. This should be Clippers minus 160. I don't remember this big of a delta. Minus 160 Clippers, minus 210 Dallas on the availability of a single player. Like,
so unless you get information, it's just a stay away series.
Pretty much.
Because you're really just guessing with your money then.
Correct. Correct.
Still entertainment-wise. Entertainment-wise should be great. I hope he plays just because there's a lot of really good players. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I want a good series for sure. Dallas is an interesting case in a lot of ways, because I'm not sure if you've been sort of following what's happened with them this year, but Dallas made some pretty aggressive moves at the trade deadline to bring in players who I'm sure you're very familiar with, PJ Washington and Daniel Gafford, right? You know, the great legends of the game.
DGAF.
DGAF. And I think ultimately, at the time, it was like, okay, you're going all in with these guys. Good luck. But it solidified a rotation for them that has been one of the best in basketball. Not as good as the Celtics, but like kind of in the conversation. And honestly, as good as the Clippers were at their peak. The Clippers were incredible at their peak back in January. And so it is it's kind of fun to try to, well, what do you do with the season data for Dallas? Do you throw out everything before the trade deadline and only look at the small sample you have since, which tells you this team is going to win the Western Conference, right? Or, you know, what do you do with this? And I think it kind of sets up an interesting scenario, because if you want to say, well, it's an unknown how to price Dallas, if you use their current data, the last 20 games, and if you say no Kawhi available in this one or at a diminished state available, then there's a very obvious bet to be made, and it is Dallas sweep, because that is what you're staring at. If you have Paul George and James Harden in their state and, you know, up against Luka and Kyrie with this, you know, perfectly constructed team around them playing at their peak, like, this isn't going to be competitive. And so it's kind of, this is one where, yeah, you can gamble, but it's not worth gambling on a 50-50. It's worth finding an exotic.
Finding a longer shot. It's crazy, too, because there's just going to dog on George and, you know, Harden for being old, but it's not like Kyrie's young. That kind of player ages gracefully, though. He's still just a shot maker. Like,
he's great. He's in a great role as a second banana, and he's healthy.
And he's, God, the jokes were great, though, when he got traded there about, like, the JFK conspiracies. Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. Again, sorry, Boston.
Yeah, so that one's going to be fun. And honestly, like, you're going to know what the price of the series ought to be based on the result of game one, right? So this is one where you got to be quick fingers, right? Maybe take some exotics early, some weird stuff, right? Like Clippers win 4-1, Mavs win 4-1, Mavs win 4-0, right? And then, you know, once we see what kind of state Kawhi is in, then we kind of know one way or the other way this is going.
And you can buy your way out if you get to a 3-1 spot too. You can always hedge off a little on a bigger.
Yep. Pitch. Dallas is going to be small favorites at home if Kawhi is 100% in games 3 and 4. Clippers are going to be small favorites at home if Kawhi is 100% in game 2, 5, and 7. So
I've definitely bet a Daniel Gafford blocks over in like a Prize Picks.
Interesting.
I tail some basketball ones from.
How many minutes are you projecting for Gafford, out of curiosity, for DGAF? 25
in this series, I'm at 23 and a half.
23 and a half. Are you looking at a specific sheet? Because that's actually the number that I grabbed from somewhere. 23.
No,
and a half,
I mean, exactly. I looked at, like, the, you know, the three foul usage there running down there, and, you know, what he's going to be put through as far as defensive, you know, his defensive assignments.
Yeah. That's but a very fair point.
I can see it going as high as 25.
Nicely done.
Do you want to talk before we go talk some NFL? Do you want to talk about, the Kings and Pelicans?
Thunder
stand a chance?
No. It feels like a 4-1. I think Thunder clean kill there. The biggest winner of yesterday by far in the West, and by far in the NBA, was the Thunder, because now their second round, their round one opponent gives them all of the runway in the world to just kind of get right and kind of get their playoff, get their playoff stinker out of the way and really find their form.
They're young and inexperienced.
They're inexperienced, but taking on the Kings or the Pelicans, like, neither of those teams is experienced. Neither of those teams has the type of size that really could make them hurt. So. Yeah, it's a very good matchup for the Thunder either way, which is cool.
Let's talk Western, because it's actually, you know, it's not the Celtics versus the field. It is probably five pretty good teams.
Yes.
What is there any value to be have? I have DGF over 48 and a half minutes. is there any value to be had in the Western Conference champions?
I have a no edge on the Nuggets. There's no way that this Nuggets price is fair.
There's no way. Oh, you have it. I thought you said you have no edge. Like, your price is
exactly the same.
You have edge on Nuggets. No. Like, who do we bet 127 other tennis players against Novak.
Exactly. Exactly. And that came through because, well, we had Sinner also, but yeah. Who he actually hits a won
gal in the neck.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that one was hilarious. Oh, winning a no on Novak when he beaned the ball woman. That was excellent.
Right.
All right. So I have small edges on a bunch of teams, but nothing I'm trying to bet. And I have a decent edge no on the Nuggets, who are probably going to win. like, what do you do in this situation where you have an edge on no for the favorite, who is the most likely outcome for you? Like, this is like a gross one, right?
You bet it if you trust your numbers.
Yeah.
Pussy.
Like, if Scottie Scheffler goes off at, plus 100 this week, you're going to bet a no?
Man, it's a smaller field. There's only so many. It's another small field. There's maybe 60 some golfers. Oh, I hate that about the RBC. I did, but oh, last time I announced picks on here, we hit one. So, well, obviously not the Masters. That doesn't count though. Masters was impossible. We did hit no hole in one. So
nice.
That is the stupidest bet to sweat. It's just no fun because anytime they go to a par three and show you some guy that isn't in the group, it's like, oh God, what did this guy do?
Please eject. Please be an ejection.
That was horrible the whole time watching that. But that price will start to come back into stasis. But Oberg, Morikawa, Tom Kim. At those original bets from this week, adding Zalatoris, like his accuracy here, positional golf, got to be accurate. It actually doesn't. So Scotty, it might not matter. It's like, oh, hey, guess what? Like the kind of defense that the Kings play isn't great as far as a matchup for the Thunder. Well, the Thunder are just that much better. It might not fucking matter what the, you know, the stylistic matchup. It's correct. The same thing. Like,
but this the, golf, Thunder this is golf course, good in, Thunder is a good check and a good check though.
Yeah,
stylistically.
Well, I'm just
yeah, it, I guess.
Because the length off the tee that Scotty has isn't going to play as much here with the dog legs and the design of the course, but. He's still very, very, very good and very smart. So it might just be another boring week in the world of pro golf. Anything else in the NBA before we do
a mock? Let's go Celtics. I don't know what else to say, man. If they let me down again, then it's going to be tough to ever bet on those green clowns as currently constituted. This is like last thought on the NBA. I said it already. The last time I had a price this close in terms of winning a conference was the mighty I can't take no in the Eurochalk. That's a great point, Kellen. The last time I had a favorite like this was Warriors, KD and Steph, right? Not against the Raptors, but the year where they sweep the Cavs. I don't remember the J.R. Smith timeout year. And honestly,
betting the Warriors at like -110 before the season started.
Yeah, oh yeah,
I had incredible. Those bets. It felt terrible.
In Bitcoin, and you're just like, I was just gonna let my Bitcoin just sit there anyway. It's gonna sit there anyway. I might as well just double it, you know. But yeah, that was fun as hell. Nitro, RIP and peace, Nitro and Tony Book both get a shout in this podcast. Yeah. Point I was gonna make was. The delta between the Celtics and the rest of the East is as big as the Warriors then, because the West was weak and the Warriors were amazing. And now you're looking at, although actually that was the year that the Warriors needed the 27 consecutive misses against the Rockets. So that actually got a little sweaty. Revisionist history. Outcome bias. I mean, talk about outcome bias, though. Like, wow.
You play enough basketball games, you can end up with Shakespeare. And missing that many in a row is,
The Tempest. I think that was the year, right? That's the one we're talking about. That were -110 preseason. And they needed that game 7.
I could not tell you for sure. I know people talked me into having that. And I just, like, every time I would look at my pendings, I'd see that. I'd be like, what is this?
Yeah.
Like,
okay. So I guess I should revise it.
One
of the reasons the Warriors were so favorable there price wise was because they were a super team. And this is, Celtics are kind of the super team on paper, but it's more about the gap between them and the rest of the East, if that makes sense. Because the rest of the East,
yeah, they're really just such an easy path to,
yeah, playing to getting to the finals. Yeah.
One of the, and
yeah,
there's just, I will check my bracket, but there's no feasible path where they would have to play the Thunder, the Nuggets, and the Timberwolves.
Yeah,
they
only got to play one.
You only have to play one of these great, yeah, Western teams.
And that could be chaos. You could draw a flawed Suns. You could draw off, a Mavericks team that maybe isn't entirely in its final form. Like, yeah, there's some weird ones.
And then also, like, the Knicks and Bucks have had injuries.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Okay, whatever. So over-under on games lost by the Celtics on the way to the finals, I would put it at around 4.5.
I was going to say 1.75 juice to the over.
Oh, games lost in the East? So they got to get two sweeps and a 4-2, or two gentlemen sweeps and a sweep. That's tough, man.
It's tough, but
that's tough.
We'll revisit this.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well. Yeah. Let's talk football.
All right. Can you pull up the? We'll use the PFF. Mock. Yes, it's mock. It's so much. It's draft. Just good. Good job by PFF.
Simulator. Yeah, is that what I'm clicking?
Yes.
Okay. Got it. I got it open.
All right. So
we didn't really in Philly, by the way.
Yeah, it's 76 all with 9.5. We'll podcast at least till the end of that game for sure, just to have reactions. All right. We didn't really discuss this. This is just like three messages this morning, but I put out like, what if we just odds and evens, we took turns drafting, you know, obviously trying to, no rules. You can draft for needs. You can draft for what you think is fun. You can draft for what you think actually happens.
No, gut. This is you said gut mock. Yeah. Like what happens?
What do you think happens? But I know what you think happens is based on 100 different things. So I do have, that's where I went. I went to get this coin.
Okay.
And you're going to call it to see if you go first or second, because first is boring.
You ready?
I mean, at first. All right. Call it.
Tails. It is a tail.
That's right? A tails. Yes.
Okay.
I'll let you choose.
I'll go first. No. I want to go second.
Do you want to put the thing on the screen?
Yeah. Sure.
It doesn't matter. I don't know. This is our meeting here. Trades are on the board.
Trades are on the board.
Why not?
Okay. Do I add? Present. Share screen.
I'm only going to trade with.
Entire screen,
team, so you get screwed up.
Screen two, share, and oops, add. There we go. Can you see that?
Yeah, go full screen. Zoom in on that shit.
How's that?
Yeah, I love it. All right, select all teams, I guess.
How do I just do that?
Yeah,
that might enter be draft. Okay, you go first.
Oh, you wanted me to go first?
Yeah, I'll go second.
Okay. The Chicago Bears, I do get both Vikings picks unless I trade. I mean, just Caleb, but I'm not going to drag this out.
Can you tell me how to do this, man?
Go to start draft. See the big blue button?
Okay, thank you. All right. Okay,
and got the it. PFF rankings are going to be way out of whack with like the
that's consensus. Okay. Who cares? Board.
But there's that search player thing when that makes it pretty easy. I've done a few of these. All right, Caleb,
okay.
Click draft. He's on. All right, so this is the first crux immediately, because I'll let you talk about it. You get to talk about your picks.
I got what happens. It is going to be quarterback from LSU who
scroll.
Is way the fuck down, Jaden Daniels. And I'm basing my gut on the fact that Cliff Kingsbury is bosom buddies with Pete Schrager. Pete Schrager said they're leaning Daniels.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm still, even though it wasn't my pick, I'm still very much in the camp that they don't know.
Okay. They had the grand Top Golf this weekend, right? This week,
where they brought everybody in.
Top Golf quarterback experience. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
We still don't know who the best golfer is of these guys. I'm curious.
There are some mocks that have the Patriots trading back here, but man, I believe, and I'm not a good quarterback evaluator, but just from what I've read and who I trust, Drake May is like legit, at least as far as giving him a shot, throwing him out there. Quick side note, if you were had to vote, what is your saddest like roster situation going into the year, just knowing where you're at, Patriots or Broncos?
That is a close call.
Panthers, Panthers will leave him out of there just because I feel bad, but it's not.
I'm going to go with the Patriots, but it's close.
I'll have some takes on both those, but I mean, yeah, Drake May, it has to be Drake May. I think you're probably getting some offers, but also we have to have a talk with Ben Solak. Remind me to DM him in the chat when he speaks about what would you call it if a team offered the Patriots their next six first rounders plus their best player,
the future pick of their franchise?
What would you call that kind of offer? A blank offer?
Godfather offer.
He keeps calling it the grandfather offer on podcasts. and nobody corrects him.
That's fine.
It is. No, it's just funny because I don't know if it's some sort of just a slip.
Or an offer that is so over the top that you cannot refuse.
Yeah, so over the top, you can't grandfather refuse on the so day of his old granddaughter's wedding.
So old, you cannot refuse it.
Kills me. And I mean, obviously, love Ben. I'm listening to a bunch of his podcasts. All right, this is where it might get weird.
Okay, I'm gonna do the not stupid thing and take Marvin Harrison Jr. fourth overall. And I think a lot of what's going on right now is smokescreeny because the Cardinals want to know if they can trade down. I don't think they ultimately will be able to manifest that at all. I think if they did trade down and lose out on Marvin Harrison Jr., they're probably fine taking Malik Nabers. I don't think they're fine taking Rome Odunze as their, as their guy. And I don't think they want that much future capital, but even though they have a million holes. So I just don't see a viable trade partner for them at four. I think they just end up taking best available, who is pretty clearly the son of the former Colt, Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah. I mean, there are scenarios. I know plenty of smart people have brought up they trade back with Minnesota and then they trade back up because what
tough
you
to
have to
facilitate
give up,
that, even though they did it last year. Their ability to do that.
And that's where I think people are getting that. Well, they did it before. You still have to pull off two deals in pretty short order. It's not tough. Easily done. Do we want to do trades or do we want to just?
It's up to you.
I mean, how likely
this is your pick? Your
I know, pick but I, I'd like to defer. I'd like to defer to you a little on this. How likely do you think Minnesota comes after this right here? Because we joked about Minnesota still getting JJ at 11.
My gut says they're not coming up. That they don't.
It's
have
a
to.
Lot. It's a lot you'd have to offer.
Yeah, my gut says they're not coming up.
So my only issue with them trying to wait till 11 for their quarterback is, I don't think Denver or Oakland, Las Vegas, sorry, has the firepower to get up.
They don't have the capital.
They don't have the right. So here's the thing. They don't have the capital to get up to 3, 4, 5, but they have the capital to get up to 8, 9, 10.
Sure.
They could leapfrog Minnesota if they covet JJ. I don't know if JJ is the answer. I don't know. Darnold's not going to be fun either.
Yeah.
They're in a tough spot because you'd have to give up a ton to get here.
See, here's let me float this. This is your pick. I don't want to influence your decision making. If you want to trade it, trade it. The longer the time has gone on since the Vikings
that they
haven't done it, the more I think that might have been just an absolute slam dunk move to cock block, right? Like literally like, hey, oh, you so- know, like, yeah, like
now Denver and Oakland.
Yeah, God. Yeah, yeah. Like it was a perfect kind of like, hey, like don't even think about it, guys. Like we got enough capital to beat your offer, so don't do it.
I'll come over the top. So
confused. That's right. That's my current kind of gut. I don't have any insight on that, but and if they have to. Make a trade up from 11. My guess is like you're saying, like there's willing partners at 8, 9, 10, right? Like if the wide receivers and hey man, elite wide receivers, like okay, let's just be totally frank here. Like, if you are drafting specifically on like franchise blue chippers, the next three players off the board should be, after the quarterbacks in the top three, the next three players off the board should be Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, and Rome Odunze, because it is, they are that good. And having an elite wide receiver who can be your, you know, your guy, you know, at a rookie deal is turning out to be, you know, quarterback rookie deal junior, right? And so, you know, I think ultimately those three guys going bang, 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 and then all of a sudden, like, then all of a sudden picks 8, 9, and 10, like, those become real cheap. And, like, Minnesota could go up there and get JJ at 8, 9, or 10, right?
Yeah. Let's just, yeah, let's, trades are kind of complicated on here. Let's just stick with the, we'll stick with it for now. And even though I believe the right pick is probably Nabers here, I'm going to, I mean, continue, I guess we'll continue to say cock block the Titans and just, should we just Joe Alt it?
Okay. It's your pick. Alt. Joe Alt to
we'll just go with the Harbaugh wants to draft a lineman kind of theory here. They need both. I mean, they're kind of screwed, but you can really go shopping for, you know, maybe run the Green Bay Packers kind of game plan where you just go shopping for a bunch of wide receivers.
Million young guys. Yeah.
Go get three. So we'll go Alt to the Chargers.
Okay.
And it leaves
Joe,
easy for you here.
Yeah, Joe Schoen just creamed his pants because you left Malik Nabers on the board. He runs to the podium and he takes Malik Nabers. Okay.
Yes, pretty easy. Which leaves the Titans in a bit of a pickle because their only, it's not their only need. Everybody has more than one need, but heavy need, obviously, is offensive lineman. And as we were talking about again in the chat today, there's a, you know, a bit of a disconnect between who is OT 2, 3, 4. And I said, you know, the differences between OT 5 and OT 15 might not be that big for some teams. And because we always get some surprise offensive linemen late in the first round. Like Cesar Ruiz, I wasn't expecting a couple years back. The guy from Chattanooga that the Patriots took. The Patriots do those sort of things, but there always does seem to be some linemen that sneak into the back half of the first round where it's like,
sure.
Oh, I none of the guys had a first round grade on you hardly. Because guess what? None of the guys who do the grading actually work for teams. Sometimes it's just one team likes a guy enough and they're going to take him. So this is probably just like, you know, Fuaga or Frashanu, flip a coin.
Okay.
You have a coin. Yeah. You have a center now. You have, didn't they sign Cautionberry? I'll go Frashanu. Give me the big guy. He was up a little. Oh, no, there he is.
You said Frashanu, right?
Okay. Yep, Penn State.
Penn State's wow, that's a tough one. I'll leave that to the experts. Okay, so I'm picking 8th for the Falcons. Jeez. I guess I'm just going to chalk it out.
Do they really just go defense because they have to? This is another one where they should trade back.
Yeah, here's my gut. The Falcons have an absolutely disastrous pass rush. They are going to take Dallas Turner because he is the kind of no doubt ish, the least risky, I guess, guy who could make an immediate impact for them defensively. I would give sincere thought to the likes of Terrion Arnold here, but if this is going to be a defensive player, it's either going to be Dallas Turner or Arnold, in my opinion. I'm gonna put Turner in here, even though this is chalky as shit and this could get weird.
I don't hate it because it's very consensus-y.
Yeah, it is. It's awfully consensus-y.
They've spent so much capital on offense for so long.
They need, like, and they need pass rush so badly. Have you looked at the depth chart for their defense recently?
So they could use help in the defensive backfield as well, but it's
there isn't
that top five guy like Arnold, Mitchell, and even Wiggins and further down the board. Like, those are good corners, but they're not guys that I think you can use top 10 capital on.
Their situation past rush right now is really, really bad. It's rough. They need an edge badly.
Okay. This is another spot where it kind of gets weird because you kind of make the Jets pick for them as well if you're the Bears.
Sure.
If you leave Rome Odunze on the board, I guess I don't see how the Jets could pass on adding offense to that, adding an offensive weapon to that. So I'm going to take him because with two offensive linemen off the board, I think if we're at a point where, you know, JJ has been drafted because somebody traded up and Alt is the only offensive lineman off the board, the Bears would probably add an offensive lineman. You could get OT2. Maybe their OT2 on their board is Fuaga or one of the other guys and they take him. But for now, I'm just going to go with Rome Odunze and cockblock the Jets.
All right. The Jets.
Yeah, Keenan Allen ain't getting it healthier or younger.
Yeah, the Jets are also going to keep it simple, stupid. Everybody, this is a must-win year. You get a guy that can maybe should be able to kind of help add to your lack of weapons, and you draft Brock Bowers. Again, kind of starting to become consensus-y. I also, you know, I don't think Joe Douglas is like an obfuscation guy like the Giants, right? Like the Giants are lying liars. And it could be that the Jets are kind of floating Bowers in the hopes of maybe getting like a Colts or somebody in that teens who has eyes for him to trade up. But ultimately, like, everybody there is on such a hot seat. I think they just take a guy who can start this year as opposed to a tackle who's going to be backing up Tyron Smith. So Brock Bowers, welcome to New York.
Yeah, the weird part is I kind of agree with you, Beat Gamer. They should take O-line, but it's probably too...
They're not building for the future. They're building to save their jobs now.
And it's too early to take interior offensive line. And they have... I don't think there's a guy that they would be like, all right, Moses, you're on the bench. We're starting this kid. You know, maybe midway through the season. Like, it wouldn't hurt for them to add some depth to tackle throughout the draft. But yeah, in a win-now situation, I hard agree with you.
Yeah,
so just draft
quarterback real,
here.
If the quarterback falls,
I feel like they'd take it.
Yeah, real quick sidebar. Not sure I agree with Nick Nurse's decision to have Kyle Lowry taking high leverage shots within 4 minutes for the Sixers. Kyle Lowry would not have been my first choice to get to the guy that's taking those shots. It is a 1-point game in a very, very close contest, though. Minnesota, you're going to send Mr. JJ?
If he falls to him, they don't have to give up any additional capital. I think they consider that a win.
You know what? That's good process. It's very good process.
Okay. And Nick C has a great point. If it goes bad, I have a feeling it's going to go bad for the Jets. I don't know how, because if you look at it on paper, it looks so good. Yeah. And it is going to be spectacular if it happens.
Yeah.
I feel like there's no middle ground. Like, the Jets cannot have a middle ground season. They either they really light it up on offense or they just explode.
Yeah. So I'm looking at my cheat sheet for the Broncos and I'm looking at their needs and it says everything. So
that's what I'm saying.
What we're going to do is
such a void roster.
We're going to add a cornerback to compliment Mr. Pat Surtain. We're going to go back to Alabama since that worked out so well. And we're going to get Terrion Arnold as a CB to fill a day one starter role for the Broncos. Damari Mathis, you are no longer the starting quarterback in Denver.
Probably makes it a little easier here too, unless they like the kid from Toledo, because CB is kind of a need for the Raiders as well. Unless the rumors are true and they think they want to go dumb on Penix or Nix, tackle is kind of the move here. So I'm going to go Troy Fatanu. They have one tackle. Now they would have two because if you get sniped on CB1, I think you go tackle.
Yeah, I'm cool with
that. Which hurts the Saints because that's another need for the Saints as well. Now you have three offensive linemen off the board.
I think the Saints are going to go tackle as well, even though they did spend a tackle pick on Penning, who they may not have completely given up on. They need help in the in the pass rush department, but with Turner off the board, I don't think he's realistically an option. Let me just think. Cornerback is such a huge need for them too. I don't know why it's not listed on this page as a need. I'm going to give them Mitchell. Sending Mitchell to the Big Easy.
Yeah, maybe the, you know, maybe the Ramczyk stuff is overblown. Maybe the Penning stuff is overblown. I guess we'll find out based on what they decide to do here. Okay, the Saints, into the Colts. They need a defensive back. Mitchell and Arnold are off the board. They could have used Brock Bowers. He's off the board. They could use a wide receiver. It might be a little too early for another one.
I don't hate it.
This is a little tricky.
Yeah, I don't hate it.
Should we just let's go? Give me another wideout.
Let's just weapon. Let's go Brian Thomas.
Yeah, let's go the other LSU. There he is, Brian Thomas. A little early. A little early. Reach, but Christ, they need some weapons.
Yep, they do. It's true. They have four slot guys somehow. I don't know how much of a reach that is, to be honest with you. Like getting a guy who could be potentially a wide receiver one, 15th. Yeah, presumably if the Colts keep building and if Anthony Richards is a hit, they're now picking in the middle teens ever again. So this was probably a good pick for them. The Seattle Seahawks.
Makes them a playoff team with a healthy Richardson. That's fun.
Seattle Seahawks need trenches so badly. With Mike McDonald in the building. I think they're going to, God damn, they need an edge setter too. God, man, this is tough. I'm assuming they're going defense because McDonald, but I don't know who they're going to take between Byron Murphy and the kid from Florida State Verse. I don't see Latu as a guy that really spells, you know, fit for the McDonald defense. I think Verse is more of a guy that fits. But I've heard a lot of people are buzzing hard about Murphy. And right now, well, they did give draft capital away to get what's his face? The dude from the Giants, right? Leonard Williams is in the interior right now. Jaren Reed, Draymond Jones. All right, I'm going to take Verse. I think they need an edge. They need an edge who can help set the edge specifically. So I'm sending Verse to Seattle. God, that was a tough one, though, because between them and that Verse and Murphy is kind of a coin flip.
Well, and it's not even, it's still a spot where they could take any of the versatile offensive linemen, too, even if they wanted to take someone who can play outside and bump one of their younger tackles in.
Oh, man, I think
the Jaguars.
Philly is going to escape with this very, very close call.
The Jaguars, I mean, everything up front, edge and DT. They could use a wide receiver. They could use a cornerback. They could use defensive backs. Yeah, I think this is probably a Cooper DeJean spot.
Okay. Let's send him.
Let's just I think I've maybe mocked Wiggins. I've maybe mocked Wiggins there in the past, but we'll go DeJean for now. Because I don't know, like, do you reach for AD Mitchell? It's a little early maybe for a wide receiver. It's not a spot where, you know, any of the edge guys I'm super excited about grabbing quite yet.
Okay. My pick?
Yes, the Bungles.
Doesn't this
feel tricky. Like offensive line with chalk or with pen?
Kind of. Blood? But they did bring in Trent Brown. And Orlando Brown. So they've spent tackle money now 2 years in a row. I kind of think they're going to go D-line here just based on how they allocated their free agency capital. I'm going to send Byron Murphy to Cincinnati. I don't have a good reason other than there's buzz around him. They need an interior D-lineman. He can start on day one. That D-line is super old. Hubbard, Rankins, Hendrickson, BJ Hill. Like, these are old men.
I still think it's your pick and I'll let you have it, but I still think it's offensive tackle. The Brown deal was a one-year deal. Like, they have to solve something there. They have a quarterback, and I know appendicitis probably didn't come at the hands of a defensive lineman, but they have a quarterback that's been injured a little bit, and it's affected them. So I don't know. We'll see. They're drafting history has been kind of all over the place. The Rams have a first round pick. Huh.
Yeah.
Here we are. Let me scroll back through my Rams first round draft history over the last few
years. This one I think is actually pretty straightforward.
I think they really do need an edge. This is, yeah. You could go interior as well. So Latu or Newton. Honestly, don't hate corner for them as well. If you're like Wiggins, this is tough. This is a tough one for me. They did get some help. They got Jonah Jackson. I think go Latu here.
I think they swung on a guy who was medically questionable from Washington last year and hit a home run with Puka Nacua in the fifth round. I don't think that the medical stuff from Washington, I think they probably have a different opinion about Washington's medical group than
decent point from Beat Gamer about Schrager saying he would assume offense just because it's McVay's first round pick. But I mean, he has to be a realist about what his defensive line looks like right now. So yes, Latu, even in the wake of Van Der Esch retiring with, not the same injury, but that has to scare people a little.
Yeah.
Guy essentially medically retired in the past. We'll see, but Latu to the Rams at 19.
Okay. Steelers. I'm going to send Graham Barton to the Steelers. Jack of all trades, offensive lineman, can play so many positions. This is a hand in glove fit for them.
Dermonte Dawson, 2.
2.0.
That's a really good fit. I mean, that's kind of an easy one there. You drafted Byron Murphy, correct?
Yes, he's off the board.
Man. Their defense, I have to get a handle on because they lost players, they added players. Chubb has the injury. Give me Fuaga here.
Fuaga.
That would be a nice fit.
Nice fit. Eagles.
Yeah, OL run coming, says Patrick. That's probably right. All right, Eagles, the 22nd pick for the Eagles is...
Need a young quarterback. They take Nate Wiggins.
He's Clemson. There. That seems like a no-brainer, unless they like Kool-Aid.
Sure.
Vikings go defense?
Yeah, that seems reasonable.
I mean, look at my... so many mocks don't have the Vikings making this pick.
Yeah, this one is a fun one for that reason.
So who is the other corner that's left? Can you change it to just corners? I'm trying to look at something quick. Scroll up a little. Up in the names there. I think you might be zoomed in too far to do it. There's a way to sort by... maybe I'm mistaken. Oh, there it is. Yeah. But now I got to go full screen so I can see. Who's left? Oh, it's the Michigan kid and then Rakestraw.
Not good. Yeah, the cornerback run has hurt the Vikings.
The cornerback run did hurt them.
I think.
Do we do interior offensive line? We can't take a second tight end. Can you switch it back to all players? I should have pulled this up myself. I've just gone along and done this, so I don't have to guide you along.
Okay.
Man, this isn't any fun for them.
No, they're kind of screwed.
This doesn't match their needs at all. Just
no.
scroll up and take Newton.
Chop Robinson.
I think that's not out of the realm of possibilities, but yeah, we'll take Newton. They can use help inside on the D line.
Okay. The Dallas Cowboys probably looking tackle. I guess I'm going to send a tackle to the Cowboys.
Just, there's so many good tackles left. Like, yeah, I would think so.
Yeah. Okay. The Packies.
All right. Who's the defensive coordinator now?
It is not Joe Barry. The Green Bay Packers new coordinator is Jeff Hafley. DC's head coach. He's now the Green Bay defensive coordinator.
Let's go Mims. Bakhtiari's dead to me. And also he's not on the team.
Okay. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers need everything. Need a little bit of everything.
A little bit of everything. Fuck, they could have used Mims. They could have used Barton. They could use a center.
I think it feels like Ricci for JPJ. I think they're going to go edge. I'm going to send Chop Robinson to Tampa.
I like it better when he falls to Detroit. But yeah, it's a chop spot.
Chop spot.
Oh, the Cardinals with their second pick in this iteration, in case you weren't paying attention or you joined late. They have already drafted a wide receiver. You know what's fun? A.D. Mitchell.
Bang. Two wide receivers to Arizona.
I love the double dip wide receiver.
Huh, they scooped the Bills, who need one too.
Well, that's the other thing too, is like there's a decent chance that they could get a haul from Buffalo. Not a haul, but something from Buffalo.
Just to
move up one spot. And then, you know, Arizona can take any of their other needs, or, you know, the Chiefs, the Niners may be looking to replace Ayuk. Some teams might be calling him about that spot to get Mitchell.
Dude, Buffalo needs a lot, man. Jesus.
Buffalo's in a dumb spot for some reason.
They are in a terrible spot. The most talented players left are tackles, probably Jordan Morgan, but they don't. Do they really need a tackle? Does that feel like a luxury? They need a wideout, and the wideouts are reaches right now.
Drafting the safety from Minnesota is probably a reach, but that's such a need too, though.
Yeah, I'm going to send him Kool-Aid, who can kind of help that secondary, which is in trouble. Okay.
All right, we are into the luxury. We're into the luxury picks. We're into the luxury picks. This is a very good team. They can use some help on defense in a few spots. I just said the name of their offensive lineman, Jonah Jackson.
Yes.
That is no longer there, but they did bring in Zeitler. So they kind of had some turnover. I guess some depth at offensive line would be nice, but this feels like a defensive pick to me, I suppose, unless you really want to go JPJ here. And
I don't feel strongly about that.
You know, add to your interior offensive line.
I don't feel super strongly about that, but.
So, I mean, who's your best edge rusher at this point?
Darius Robinson, maybe? Robinson from Missouri.
We've put them in a ticklish spot as well.
Yes, we have.
They could take Robinson, and then after that, it's like Chris Jenkins or a linebacker, a corner.
I think they're reaching on defense.
Yeah, let's go Ennis Rakestra Jr. from Missouri.
I think that's fair. They could use
this
help.
The Lions have reached for guys they want, guys they need. In the past, I don't think anybody has him as a round one, player for the most part.
No, he's on some big boards in the top 30. All right, the Ravens need a tackle. Period. I think Jordan Morgan is their guy. Yeah,
Morgan's there.
Hot name right now. Morgan
or the BYU kid.
Got the buzz. I'm gonna send Morgan to Balto. Sweet Balto. Okay.
All right, Niners. They could have used Jordan Morgan. That would have been nice. They can use some corner help as well.
Guyton is available. The tackle from BYU is available.
Let's go Kingsley. Western, little Western Coast-ish team. And just because, like, they could have used a wideout, but are you reaching on somebody? They could have used, you know, a tackle. Some of the tackles have been taken. They could have used corner, but there's been a bit of a corner run. So I think they go for another tackle here.
All right. Philly through with a one-shot win, a one-point win, and an over that gets there by the hair of its chinny chin.
Yeah,
chin.
By a point. That total didn't move much.
Did you see? I think Tyler Hero hit a garbage time three that got that thing there. If you bet an over box, in that game, go buy a lotto ticket. Yes. I don't know who in the hell the Chiefs have eyes for, but I know it's not going to be a quarterback.
They can do whatever they want.
Let's
back. Do we do a CEH redux where they reach for some running back?
No, it's too far.
It's gonna the running backs are like in the 50s.
Probably. Who do we think between McConkey kind of, or Worthy?
Worthy or McConkey? Guy?
Is Worthy too redundant with Sky Moore? Is McConkey more of like a different kind of guy? I don't
think anyone's redundant with Sky Moore. I think you just replace Sky Moore.
Super fast guy. All right, they go back to the Tyreek Hill mold and bring in Worthy.
All right, okay. click on. I want to.
Hey, look at that! I just won two new awards. Hey, I got the number one mock draft. It says it. You did not
close that. Go do the thing where you can do a screenshot, though, or download it. I want you to.
How
send
do I
me
do
this.
That? Download image.
Download image.
Downloaded. Right,
yeah, send me that.
All right, I will. Okay. Good job. Let's wrap it up.
I that like it. Had fun with that. I'll post that up for you guys to take a look. If you have any takes on our mock, obviously hit us up. I enjoyed talking a lot of NBA. Congrats to the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 76ers. Appreciate you guys. Hit the thumbs up on the way out. Hit subscribe.
Oh, Beat Gamer's right. I forgot they got Hollywood Brown. He is kind of the guy. Maybe they what do they need if they don't take a what Chiefs need if they don't take a
you know what? If they go Hollywood Brown and Worthy, it's just the Kansas City Dolphins.
Yeah. Well, I like that.
Which is a dudes will I see like this that. And say, hell yeah.
Yeah. How many let me just see. The only thing I really bet in the draft so far is the correlated offensive defensive stuff. And so I really need 21-11. That would be sweet, sweet, sweet. So let me just count 1, 2, 3, 4.
I think we went 20-12.
8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. No, we were 19. We only had 19 offensive players. We left a couple tackles on the board. People are real hot on some, like 10 offensive linemen are going to go. Like, I think that's even gotten bet in some spots. I'm not sure.
I'm colder on that because like I said, I think the evaluation between OL5 and OL15 are so similar for some teams that a lot of teams may just wait and take some of these smaller round. School guys on day two.
Yeah, I so, strong agree. Strong agree. Okay. Enjoyed the part of the podcast where I was counting.
That was a very Francesca moment for sure. I didn't want to say anything. I knew you were going to take that long.
I had a good laugh. That was good. That was good.
Appreciate you, Patrick.
All right, guys. Yeah, thank you for tuning in. As always, hope you have some winners in these NBA playoffs. I think
if somebody's listening live. Hawks, Bulls -3.5.
I like total, the over.
You like the over, Ken?
I like the over there. Yeah, I played some over. 222.5, get out of here. It should be more like 228.
Get out of here with that.
Yeah. All right. Best of luck. Let me find the outro music.
Thank you for drafting.
We can get along with our day. I have given very little thought to what the mock draft would look like. So hopefully I didn't do anything especially embarrassing.
No, I think we went really off script in a few spots, but people, there's a lot of echo chamber when it comes to mocks. Like every mock looks almost the same. I hate that. I want some what ifs.
I forgot to hit end the stream like always.